This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. The parable of the prodigal son is best understood under the title of the parable of the merciful father. The focus is not on the son, but on the father's actions of mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation, and unconditional love.
Can you remember one or two things that God has done for you since your life? Count them one by one and give praise to Him. He will bless you more.
Fourth Sunday of Lent. Readings for Year C.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land, in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat. But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His father said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
The prodigal son in the gospel reading came back to his senses and decided to return to the father and ask for his mercy. That desire to return to the father is basically what every sincere Christian needs to do every time he realizes he has departed from the love of the father. There is always an opportunity for renewal in Christ. God does not count our trespasses against us. He longs always to have us back in his embrace. We cannot achieve anything if we are cut off from the love of the Father. Let us pray for the grace of repentance, and may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Enobong Udaijong, Father Hilary Munyaneza contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
God sent his son, they call
Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis sent a message Saturday to missionaries of mercy gathered in Rome for their jubilee as part of the ongoing Jubilee of Hope. In his message to the priests, the Pope recalled that God wipes the tears of every patient sinner with his invitation to conversion and forgiveness. Devin Watkins reports.
As missionaries of mercy hold their 2025 Jubilee in Rome, Pope Francis has reaffirmed his prayerful support for their mission to bring God's forgiveness to our broken world. The Pope expressed his gratitude and encouragement for their work as confessors. During the 2016 Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, Pope Francis commissioned priests from dioceses around the globe to hear confessions and grant absolution for several sins which are normally reserved to the Holy See. These sins include profaning the Eucharist, using physical force against the Pope, a priest absolving an accomplice in a sin against the Sixth Commandment, a priest who breaks the seal of confession, and recording a priest or penitent during confession or divulging the recording on social media. In a message released on Saturday as they returned to Rome, Pope Francis said missionaries of mercy offer people enduring the weight of sin the gift of God's forgiveness, calling it a source of hope. Through your service, he said, you bear witness to the paternal face of God, infinitely great in love, who calls everyone to conversion and constantly renews us with his forgiveness. Pope Francis said Jesus opens the path in every sinner's heart to walk with the Church toward reconciliation. Conversion and forgiveness are the two caresses with which the Lord wipes every tear from our eyes, he said. They are the hands with which the Church embraces us sinners, he added. They are the feet on which we walk in our earthly pilgrimage. The Pope encouraged missionaries of mercy to be attentive in listening, ready in welcoming, and steadfast in accompanying those who desire to renew their lives and return to the Lord. God's mercy, he noted, changes our hearts and can reach us in every situation, since we can always trust in God. I wholeheartedly bless your apostolate, asking Mary Immaculate to watch over you as Mother of Mercy, concluded Pope Francis, and please do not forget to pray for me. I'm Devin Watkins.
The powerful earthquake that struck Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, on Friday has killed over 1,000 people, the country's military government announced on Saturday. The 7.7 magnitude earthquake was followed by several aftershocks, including one measuring a strong 6.4 magnitude. In neighboring Thailand, the quake rocked the greater Bangkok area, leaving 6 people dead, 26 injured, and 47 still missing. Pope Francis offered heartfelt prayers for the victims of the quake on Friday, the sixth day of his convalescence in the Vatican. In a telegram sent on his behalf by the Vatican's Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Pope also assured his spiritual closeness to all those affected by the tragedy. The Pope's thoughts also went to all emergency personnel, whom he prayed, quote, may be sustained in their care of the injured and displaced by the divine gifts of fortitude and perseverance. In a separate telegram on Friday, the Pope offered his prayers for those who have been injured and for the relief efforts of the firefighters and other emergency personnel in South Korea's worst-ever wildfires. The United Nations Secretary General has urged regional and international leaders to prevent South Sudan from falling, quote, over the abyss into another civil war and speak with one voice to support a return to peace. In remarks on Friday, Antonio Guterres warned that the world's newest nation is facing a security emergency with intensifying clashes and a political upheaval culminating with this week's arrest by the government of first Vice President Riek Machar. Meanwhile, churches in South Sudan have urged President Salva Kiir and Mr. Machar to resolve their differences through dialogue in the face of rising tensions. Lisa Zengarini reports.
The arrest of Riek Machar, South Sudan's first vice president, marks the latest turn in the turbulent relationship with his rival, President Salva Kiir, which goes back to South Sudan's independence in 2011. The two rival leaders were at the center of the devastating civil war that erupted in 2013, The five-year war led to immense suffering, with over 400 deaths and massive displacement, severely undermining the stability of the young nation, which was visited by Pope Francis in 2023. Although the armed conflict officially ended in 2018 with a peace agreement, whose full implementation, however, is still stalling, tensions between the two strongmen of South Sudan have continued to haunt the country's political landscape, which is also plagued by local and tribal conflicts. Following the latest developments, the UN warned this week that South Sudan was teetering on the edge of a new civil war. Churches in South Sudan have reacted to the events with a new appeal to dialogue. The Council of Evangelical Churches of South Sudan has called for an impartial investigation into the root causes of these conflicts. The church has also expressed concern over the presence of foreign forces in South Sudan and encouraged the resolution of security issues through diplomatic engagement, ensuring that national sovereignty and stability are respected. I am Lisa Zengarini.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Sudan's army said on Saturday it had taken control of a major market in Khartoum's twin city of Omdurman, which had previously been used by their Rapid Support Forces or RSF rivals to launch attacks during a devastating two-year-old war. Meanwhile, the International Court of Justice said on Friday it will hear a case brought by Sudan demanding emergency measures against the United Arab Emirates and accusing the Gulf state of violating obligations under the Genocide Convention by arming the paramilitary rapid support forces. The UAE has denied the accusation, but UN experts and United States lawmakers have found it credible. The court based in The Hague, Netherlands, said it will hear Sudan's request on the 10th of April. M23 rebels in control of key areas of Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo agreed on Friday to a ceasefire with African regional peacekeepers who have announced their withdrawal. The Rwandan-backed rebels and troops from the South African Development Community, or SADC, said in a joint news release that they will work together to rebuild the airport in the eastern hub of Goma, which was damaged when the rebels took over, so that the SADC troops could depart the country in an orderly way. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am Sister Jacinta Antoinette Okoth, bringing you today's edition. This year marks the 10th anniversary of Pope Francis' groundbreaking encyclical letter Laudato Si that calls for ecological conversion. Released in 2015, just before the Paris Climate Summit, the encyclical urged us to care for our common home through sustainability, social justice, and environmental stewardship. To explore more on how the encyclical has shaped environmental actions over the past years, Brother Adolf Mugume of the Holy Cross Congregation and founder of an environmental group in Uganda narrates to Vatican Media how young people are taking lead on climate action, blending faith with tangible solutions.
I've been involved with mentoring a group of young people in Uganda called the Laudato Youth Initiative since the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. This initiative grew out of the need to give hope. During the pandemic, as you may know, we witnessed the urgent need for climate action, especially the heightened increasing natural disasters and the environmental degradation, witnessing the effects of pollution. Climate injustice really motivated me to create a platform where youth could engage in meaningful action in response to the message of the encyclical Laudato Si, and with emphasis on our shared responsibility to care for our common home, encouraging young people people to unite and be the change they want to see. We need to form a generation of climate resilient people, as Pope Francis in his encyclical Laudato Si tells us, as well as in the Catholic social teachings. We aim to empower youth to take action for our planet and advocate for sustainable living, encouraging them to become active participants in a journey to ecological conversion, as we are called by the Church to address the scabbarding global warming. And I chose to front the youth because they are the future leaders who will inherit the consequences of today's environmental decisions. Engaging them fosters a sense of responsibility and hope, allowing them to become champions for change in their families and communities. We are also mentoring a climate-resilient generation of Laudato youth who will grow up with the understanding and values needed to approach environmental issues practically. With the presence of the media, we opted to adopt using the media to sensitize people about the dangers of adapting to climate change as a solution for the then COVID pandemic. Again, began in passion engagement in April 2022, and a year later, we thought it wise and came up with a very amazing program that we launched called the Laudato Si Festival. Having entered into the field to see what happened after the aftermath of the pandemic, there was much good because the world had rested, but there was a lot of harm that was going on in communities and families. People really destroyed the environment. So the Laudato Si Festival became like an iconic event, which was an annual event that unites communities and organizations for concrete actions encouraging corporate social responsibility aligned with caring for creation, but also engaging the intergenerational relationship of the young people reaching out to communities to serve and help people know about Laudato Si. What was interesting and has still stands out unique of us is how much we are able to communicate Laudato Si using things like festivities, which people know and like. And I think if you go to Uganda today, in most institutions of learning and in parishes and dioceses, you find a lot of Laudato Si activities taking place because of our initiative.
Brother Adolf narrates further that Laudato Youth Initiative has made a positive impact in society, acknowledging that, yes, it is worth celebrating the Pope's inspirational document.
We are reaching far as Kenya and Tanzania. The youth are now feeling. We as African youth also have something to bring on table as far as interpreting church documents are concerned. So we go to parishes, we go to dioceses, we go to schools, and we form Laudato Si clubs, even in communities. One of the big things that we are reaping as a fruit is getting in the realities of families and dealing with issues of climate change, but also social justice at the same time. And for me, that is more meaningful because we are directly engaging, actually, the Catholic social teachings as well. And when you see where we operate from, we do not only have clubs in Catholic schools. We've had amazing clubs in non-Catholic schools. A case in point is one school in Uganda called Nyakasura School. Nyakasura School is a Protestant-founded school, but we have a club there. That club is standing at the testament in Uganda among many clubs, and if you went in the media and found out what they are doing, it's impressive, and I think they have been able to mobilize other environmental organizations to work with them together on how do they really support for and to see environmental action going on to this problem which has been existing for long, and the young people feel we have the answers, we are not given the opportunity to implement them. What we are actually doing is helping them transfer the knowledge of what they learn in their clubs, they can go and do it at their homes. And when people see the fruits of what they are doing home, they can easily go and also start up something in the community. We have also pioneered something very strong on parish levels, interfaith conferences during the season of creation. Actually, I was very impressed when I came to realize that actually the different faith groups out there have a message which is more like what Laudato Si asks us. The world is truly something we share in common, and in the environment we all are one.
Even though various stakeholders, governments, organizations and faith communities have embraced the call of Laudato Si, climate change remains an urgent crisis with critical gaps still left to be addressed. To shed light on these pressing issues, We now turn to Sister Stella Maris Kimau of the Daughters of Sacred Heart Congregation, who has also been journeying with young children in Kenya on environmental care to highlight some of the key challenges that demand attention.
If I really look around here, for me, I feel that not many people have been educated on the issue of the environment. Even though there are groups that come and talk to them, there are just a few groups that have been told about it, but it has not reached everybody. Again, and it comes also to the economy, like puts a gap. It's a big gap because you find that many of them are not able to buy like gas and other fuels that could be used rather than using the trees. And then again, I feel that the sacredness of nature is not there in people. And so we are not able to restore the reverence of nature into its place. So I feel those gaps are there, the educational gap. There is the sustainability, the transitioning to the sustainable, and also inclusivity and equitability.
That was Sister Stella Maris Kimau, and before her you heard from Brother Adolf Mugume sharing insights on Laudato Si at 10 years, its impact, and the way forward to help us build a just, sustainable, and compassionate world. And that's all for this edition on the impact of Laudato Si 10 years down the line. Until the same time next week, I am Sister Jacinta Antoinette Okoth.
Here is an important announcement for our listeners. Effective Sunday, March the 30th, with the commencement of daylight saving time in Italy, our broadcast schedule will be adjusted accordingly. Our first shortwave radio broadcast will air 1 hour later at 16:30 GMT, that is 18:30 local time in Rome. For our listeners on digital radio, previously broadcast on FM in Rome, the program will now be available at 18:30 for the first broadcast and at 22 hours for the repeat broadcast. We appreciate your continued support and encourage you to stay tuned. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.